Hello, welcome and kumusta. Thank you for joining me. This is How, your occupational therapist, and welcome to Occupational Therapy Conversations. In today's episode, we are going to talk about a condition that is a little less known compared to Alzheimer's, but one that is very important for us as occupational therapists and for anyone working in neuro or older adult care. And this condition is called the frontotemporal dementia, or FTD. What is FTD? First things first, let's define this. FTD is an umbrella term for a group of brain disorders that happen because of progressive damage, particularly to the frontal and the temporal lobes of the brain. And remember, these are the areas that will control the personality. The frontal part of the brain will control their personality, their behavior, their social judgment, and then the temporal region being their language as well. Now, unlike Alzheimer's disease, where memory loss is usually the first big problem, in FTD, it often starts with changes in someone's behavior. There is a change in their way of communicating with other people, or there are sudden personality changes. And that's why families sometimes notice some things that are different long before the memory problems show up. And this is almost like our most concerns with our elderly relatives. Have you noticed that? It's just more defined nowadays. Back in the days, you'd be growing up and then you would notice grandma, grandma has got like this. They become grumpier. They're a bit moodier. Seems to be a natural old age thing. But now there's that definition. So it's less known because the recall is not the main problem here, but rather it is the personality. Let's talk about the types of FTD. There are a few different types. The first type being the behavioral variant FTD. And this is most common. Here, people may become more impulsive. They lose empathy, or they act socially inappropriate, in a socially inappropriate manner. Imagine someone who used to be very polite now suddenly making blunt comments or overspending or showing no awareness of other people's feelings. I certainly have observed this in some of my grandparents. That's the first type, the behavioral variant. The other variant is the primary progressive aphasia, and this type affects speech and language. And we have two flavors here. The first one being the semantic variant, where people lose the meaning of words, like forgetting what table means. The other one would be a non-fluent, or the agrammatic variant, where speech becomes effortful, slow, and somehow broken. If you look at this, it's almost like lacunar stroke that is affecting the temporal lobe. You can see that there are some trophic changes. There's some shrinkage in that part, right? In some cases of the primary progressive aphasia type, the movement disorders sometimes will overlap with FTD, just like corticobasal syndrome or progressive supranuclear palsy, where motor symptoms are actually joining with the cognitive changes. So yeah, it's almost typical old age. Not all, but you'd see this more often on people with age. So what are the symptoms and what would we see in practice? Mind you, these symptoms will not be enough to get a person hospitalized. So nobody would get admitted into a hospital because of this. But sometimes as occupational therapists, we encounter patients who are frail, comes in because of a urinary tract infection or comes in because of a respiratory problem. And then this will be raised by family. And then it becomes a challenge for us, particularly when we need to discharge a person. Let's talk about the symptoms. Symptoms would be the changes in personality and behavior. There could be disinhibition, apathy, poor judgment. And those people that feel that they can still do things, and particularly cooking and meal preparation, and yet they cannot, that becomes a concern. Another symptom would be that of language difficulties, where people could be struggling to find words or would have difficulty understanding the meaning or form, or they have difficulty forming sentences. They can have problems in executive functioning, like planning, organizing. Problem solving becomes very hard. As you can see on the first part of the MoCA test, where you have executive functioning test subsection in the area. So where you have to plan, you have to remember the rules. Yeah. And like I said, sometimes motor changes would be associated with it. Person might have stiffness, they can have swallowing problems, there can be tremors. The causes and some of the risk factors, let's talk about that. Most of the time, the underlying cause is usually what they're saying on a medical perspective, that there are abnormal proteins building up in the brain. In some cases, they say it's genetic, complex stuff. But it is important to remember that FTD often starts earlier than Alzheimer's disease, usually between the ages 45 to 65. So when you see a relatively young patient with major personality changes, think about these FTD. But then it's not a medical, serious medical condition that it's very difficult to identify, isn't it? So normally a psychiatrist would pick this up, or a psychologist would pick this up, or a counselor would highlight these things. Nobody goes to the GP when these personality changes are happening, isn't it? Sometimes it's just being perceived as the person being grumpy, like I said. Let's talk about diagnosis. How does one get diagnosed? Well, diagnosis involves a mixture of things. First and foremost, it will always be clinical history and noticing. Family would be reporting early behavioral or language changes. Neuropsychological testing for language and executive function is another one to do it. Brain scans, MRI, PET scans. And what they look for would be the shrinkage of the frontal and the temporal lobes. And in some cases, maybe genetic testing. But with NHS, I don't think we have the luxury to test these things. Yeah. Usually the shrinkage of the frontal and temporal lobes are just an after findings when somebody's had a TIA, for example, or it calls for a scan, and then incidentally, they will find that there are general shrinkage around the brain. Let's talk about the management. Now, here's the important part. Management. There is no cure, but it doesn't mean that we can't do a lot to help the person. Medications, usually, that's what the doctors would do. Yes, we leave it up to them. Sometimes they'd be giving a person antidepressants, SSRIs, for example. It can help on the behavioral changes. Not our area, but good to know. Speech therapists and speech and language therapy could come in for those with language variants. But then when language variants comes in, what can you do, isn't it? Can you restore it? Can you restore a person's ability to speak when the major part and the major system is impaired already? So the treatment will have to be compensatory, adaptive, supportive, modify intervention. And those are areas where occupational therapists can really shine. With regard to occupational therapy, this we can come in here, we can help the patients and their families with routine coping strategies and adapting to daily tasks, sticking into routine. This is where the model of human occupation comes in. When a person is in a familiar environment, it's much more simpler. When family is aware, like another intervention would be caregiver support, for example, families need education, and occupational therapists can come in here because education is one of the tools of our practice. Emotional support, teaching practical strategies for family, because changes can actually be challenging. What would be the difference between this and Alzheimer's? To make it simple, really, this condition, the FTD, there is early personality or there's early behavior or language changes, and memory may still be fine at first. So it starts with the personality and the language. Whereas with Alzheimer's, there is an early memory loss, and that is the big issue. So there you go. That is frontotemporal dementia in a nutshell, guys. This is a condition that teaches us to look beyond memory when we think about dementia. As occupational therapists, our role is to support not just the patient. We are there to support the family and the whole system. And we need to provide strategies, adapt environments, and we need to help preserve the dignity and the participation of the person for as long as possible. It's a very short talk. If you learned a little something today, share it with your colleague and friends. Talk to your friends about it. The usual things that I may have to say every now and again, like, subscribe, share on the digital platforms. It's whatever it is that would appease the algorithms. But most of all, I'd like you to share this with your friends, learn together and grow together over a cup of tea. Just remember, guys, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye.